Welcome to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, when you're working in business, often you find you need a financial solution. And it's not just necessarily a financial solution for your business. It could be a personal solution. And so often, I always feel that you get this point, you walk into a financial's place and they go, they don't seem to care about me. They care about their commissions or they care about whatever else. So we have met the most fantastic person who has a business called Flawless Financial Services. And Mihir joins us today to tell us why it doesn't have to be that way. Welcome.
Hi.
Now, Mihir, why do I always feel just a little bit creepy sometimes when I'm talking to financial people? It's like they don't listen to what I'm trying to say. It's like they're trying to sell me whatever product makes them the most money. And it just feels just a little bit wrong. But I don't get that feeling when we talk to you. Why is that?
So yes, Jackie, I think so. It's not only you, but it's majority of the people that think the same. It's just that how the perception is in the market, plus the media as well. They will always sell you the bad stuff. They don't want to give you the correct information. And if you see, there is probably maybe 10% of the things that have not worked for the customers, but 80 or 90% of the times, or even more, a good financial, you know, person will always tell you what is better for you. There has been so many instances where people have benefited, you know, a lot through the financial services. It's just that only the bad stuff comes out in the media, and then people start panicking, and then when they go to meet financial services, you know, people, they think, oh no, what's going to happen? But it doesn't need to be like that.
Because there has to be surely a certain level of trust. Yes. Because if you're going to help me from a financial point of view, yes, you need to get into my private, yes, stuff. You've, yes, got to know what I've got as an income, correct, how I'm spending it. Correct. You need all this information, and that's like showing you a little piece of my soul.
Yes, correct. So what we do is every finance broker, including myself, we start the process by taking something called as fact find. Mm-hmm. What fact find is, basically, it tells me where you are at your current stage in life, what is your current job, what is your current residential status, what is your assets and liabilities position, and what is your income. So it does touches your soul. Mm. But at the same time, what it does, it gives the finance broker, the mortgage broker like me, enough information to be able to understand what your scenario is. There is three things with it: the current, the short term, and the long term. Right. Based on what is your goal, we will plan it according to that. So at the moment, for example, if you're renting and you're forking out $350 in rent a week, that $350 of your hard-earned money can go towards a property that can, you know, you're not paying somebody else's mortgage. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay something that will in future be a lot of value for yourself. So that is what it is. Now, obviously, with different individuals, there is different circumstances, there is different scenario, and there is different ultimate goal. Like, for example, some people, they don't want the stress of a commitment. When you get into a mortgage, it is a commitment, and they want to go around the world. They don't want to be in that. And I understand, that's fine. But there is an alternative as well. So what we can do is, see, at the end of the day, there is only three ways you can have a retirement money. One is either through your superannuation. Second is if you're trading in shares. And third is the real estate, which is the properties and investments. Traditionally, because there is fees and charges associated with super, plus there is not, I mean, it is still a good return with super, but it is not substantial for an individual just to rely on super for their retirement. Yeah. The second thing is with shares, it's like, you know, you have to have deep pockets to be involved in the share trading game, and which most of us common people, you know, common Australians wouldn't. So the thumb of rule with property is generally at the end of 10th, in 10 year cycle, regardless whether there is GFC, whether it is this upward trend or the downward trend, it will work out to be double of what you buy. So for example, I know so many people who have had multiple properties. They had bought the property for 100 grand. That property is sitting at $400,000. Some of them, I know an individual, he bought the property for $180,000 in Como. And now that property is worth $1.5 million.
It's a good purchase for Como.
So yes, correct. But this was back, going back in 1998 or something. So in 20 years time, look at the amount of returns that property has given. And property, you know, at the end of the day, the feel-good factor of property is when you're renting, you don't want to spend money to, you know, kind of make the property look as nice as you would want to be, because it is somebody else's property. Mm. And sometimes it's just a restriction that the owner has put on, or sometimes you don't want to fork out money on somebody else's property, and there are a few other things. Whereas if it's your house, no matter how big or small, you know, you will have that feeling, yes, this is mine.
Mm, and you can touch it.
You can touch it. It's feeling that's just...
Can't touch it.
Yes. Number game is aside, but, you know, sometimes it's all about inner happiness. And, you know, one of the thing that I think, so, because I've also owned a property myself, when I go to the bed in the evening and, you know, sometimes I'm just, you know, because I've just recently moved in my property just a couple of years ago, and I feel so nice. There is such a feel-good factor about it.
It's like you've ticked that box, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As an adult, I need to own a house.
Yes.
Tick.
Yes, okay. Correct. Absolutely.
I'm adulting. I've grown
yes.
up.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes. And then what happens is going through the phases of your life, depending on what stage you get into the property, it will also help you to kind of make financially sound decision. Because until I only realized this, I always try to take examples of myself before putting someone else into something. Because, you know, if I wouldn't do it, I would still offer them this thing, but I would also tell them that if I was you, this is what I would do. But every individual, as I said, has their own, you know, circumstances, and they have to analyze themselves to be able to make decisions.
I guess people have got a different comfort level with risk, don't they?
Absolutely. That is one of the biggest thing. And once what happens is, you know, before, when I was a bachelor, I wasn't married. I just came to Australia, been here 10 years, and I was a student, and then my life progressed, finding a job from uni and so on. I wouldn't necessarily make that sound financial decisions until I got the house. I realized that, yes, my hard-earned money doesn't need to be spent on something.
Beer.
Yeah, I was going, you just, you know, stole the words out of my mouth, because when I was, you know, just working and, you know, no house, every Friday evening I would go to the pub or Saturday to the clubs and, you know, spend a fortune. And on Sunday or Monday I would realize that was a bad thing, but only to repeat it again the next weekend. But since I bought my house, I do. It's not like I'm cutting back on my lifestyle. I'm still going out to, you know, have beers with friends and enjoy a good chat and stuff. But I wouldn't necessarily spend as much as I would have back in the day. So it's kind of making, you know, you're still having the fun, but you're having it in a level which is comfortable to your pocket, as well as, you know, to yourself.
And to your future, I
suppose,
yes, as well.
Yes, to your future as well, absolutely.
So when you were at uni, obviously you came to Australia.
Yes.
And did you come to Australia to go to uni?
Correct. So basically what had happened is I've always been in banking sector.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Bachelor's of Commerce from India, and then I was working for a bank. I took so many promotions. They ran out of promotion. Nice. For me to go to the senior management position now, I had to do a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And because I was so successful, I wouldn't necessarily be able to commit to a full-time education if I stayed back home in India. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate to get admission into one of the group of 8 universities in Australia, which is UWA. Mm-hmm. So I did my MBA from UWA. And because of my bachelor's and master's degree, I had to only do another few units to complete my second master's. So I did my master's in accounting as well from, you know, uni. And then just before finding the job and everything, somebody told me that you need a diploma in banking and financial services. So I went to TAFE and I did a diploma in TAFE as well. So I've got a bachelor's, double master's, a diploma. And while turning out from a finance broker to mortgage broker, I had to do one more diploma. So very highly qualified.
More pieces of paper than than a book.
Correct. And a lot of debt too, because when you study so much,
yes,
you've got immense
course.
Amount of debt. And, you know, having the banking background and such a good knowledge with education, I could analyze myself what will be financially wise. Sometimes, still I would still not bother about it and go to the fullest. But yeah, and I started my first job with St. George Bank as soon as I came out of uni. Didn't like it, so I went to work as a finance broker in a car dealership. And then they made me sell cars for 1.5 years before giving me the opportunity because they didn't necessarily had that confidence. Anyway, April 2013, I got into the finance broking and I've been going strong and yeah, so it's good.
So why didn't you go home when you finished university?
Well, the thing is, what happened was the level that I was at when I came from Mumbai to Perth, all my colleagues and my friends who were at my level, and they had moved on into different sectors. The banking sector had changed a lot since I came to Australia. And I always find I've got passion to help people in terms of finance. I'm kind of like from a business community, thinking and making wise financial decisions is in our blood.
Right.
From the very beginning. So obviously I wanted to always work in finance because there was global financial crisis and everything. It made me change my mind to stay back in Perth. And you know, I love Perth. It's better than Melbourne, Sydney, wherever you go. I can tell you right now, Perth is best.
Mumbai to Perth is a heck of a contrast.
Yes, absolutely. It is. But you know,
do you miss all the people?
Not necessarily people, because I was able to make much more better and, you know.
But just the crush of people. I mean, I've spent some time in Mumbai, not a lot, granted.
Yes.
But one thing, my clearest memory from Mumbai is, and I was only younger, I was a lot younger than I am now, is that every single place that I went, there was thousands and thousands of people.
Yes.
You couldn't walk down a back street even.
Yes,
like Perth, you can walk. Sure, you've got a lot of people in the mall,
absolutely.
But you get two streets away and you can have the whole street to yourself,
yes.
Or a beach to yourself. That's just not possible in India. It's just inconceivable that you would have a whole space to yourself.
Yes. What happens is, you know, you always want to have what you don't have. So since I'm coming from the place where I had so many people and there were so many things going on and it is a fast-paced city.
Crazy city.
Yes, absolutely.
And noisy, so noisy.
Well, you get used to that. So that's fine. But, you know, moral of the story is that grass is always greener on other side. And sometimes it is, sometimes it is not. In my case, I always found that Perth is, you know, relaxed, much more cleaner, much more nicer, and much more quality of life is so much better in Perth compared to Mumbai. Obviously, Perth needs to, or in fact, the entire Australia needs to raise the standard in terms of the cuisines and the food, because obviously you can't find the same, same quality of food, but you know, except from that, you know, you can go. The beauty about Perth is you can be anywhere in Perth and you can reach city in 20 minutes.
Yes.
You can go to Melbourne, Sydney, it will take you forever to reach the city. And that's why, you know, we've got the cleanest beaches. And the thing is also Melbourne and Sydney are already developed, so it's already reached its peak. Whereas Perth, I read an article in a newspaper that said that Perth currently is in 1955 when America was in that year. Mm. So there is a huge potential to grow. And I think so now that, you know, I know this is off topic, but the politicians are now also focusing on WA, which is not that very, which is very strange, because compared in my 10 years, I always, you know, our GST, you would go to the eastern states, nobody would care what WA is doing. It was so secluded. So the thing is, with the downturn, there has been a good outcome, because A, Colin Barnett, one of the greatest premiers that you know, a country will ever have, he started so many projects which ensured that not a lot of people, in spite of so many redundancies, will go out of jobs. He created Perth Arena, Perth Stadium, there is the airport runway, he brought in the late night shopping, then there's so many projects that he came up with, and which ensured that even though there was redundancies in mining and resources sector, it didn't have as much as effect that it would have if those projects wouldn't have come. And secondly, we realized that how much GST is important for our own state, so we started pushing. Mm. And now, from the talks that I've heard, that Perth will have will have a permanent share of X amount of dollars from GST. I need to read that article a bit more in detail, but you know, that's good. So
how does that impact people's confidence in borrowing and in confidence in developing their businesses? Because surely if we've got confidence in our community and our business community particularly, you feel that you're taking less of a risk. So does that influence your advice to people when they've come to you to say, hey, I've got this great idea, what do you reckon?
So basically, whenever I you know, obviously there needs to be an icebreaker to get to that personal level, because as you said, it's very difficult to trust anyone, you know, especially the finance and other professions.
Well, certainly recently they haven't had a good rap, have they, with all the royal commissions we've had? And
That's correct.
It's that can't be a good thing.
Yeah, well, see, there is good and bad. What happens is when you are audited, there will always be things that will be exaggerated than what they are. And one of the points that I was going to explain to you was, when I get, you know, to know the client, and when I go dig a bit deeper, the three advice that I give to my client is, A, don't listen to the media, because they will only show you. See, the thing is, bad news will always spread and sell faster than the good news. Mm. So I'll give you an example. Donald Trump made truce with Kim Jong-un, and there is no more nuclear testing that Kim Jong-un will do from now on. Now, that is a really, really big news, because it is going towards world peace. However, that was covered in a very small section on a newspaper, because it was a good news. But if there is a bad news, it is in the front with such a big and bold the posters and everything that people... See, the thing is, the mind has got a brain of its own. When you keep on looking at bad stuff, regardless of whatever, even though your life is perfectly in order, you've got the best job, you've got the best car, you've got the best, everything, you will still think that, oh no, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing. But that is where you need to stop. I had, in fact, one of my managers, I used to listen to, you know, news and radios and so many things. And I used to be a little bit depressed because there was always bad, worst thing. And my manager told me, Mihir, listen, do you have a job? I said, yes. Does it pay enough for you to have a holiday in a year and 2 times of food on your table and your family can survive? I said, yes. Do you have a roof on your head? I said, yes. Then why are you worried? Don't listen to media. They are only selling you bad stuff. So one of the things that I tell people is don't listen to them. Obviously, it needs to be in moderation. See, the thing
or at least use your own brain to judge what's going on. Right. Oh, the world is ending. Well, mine's not.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Secondly, what happens is people try to follow others in their life, but they should be making the decisions on their own individual circumstances. What happens is, when the market is down, that is the best time to buy. Because I'll give you an example. See, if you see in Perth and in WA, in last 20 years, I can remember of only one downturn ever that has happened, and that is in mining. Having said that, see, the thing is, it's not like the resources have dried up. WA has got immense resources which will last for another 100 years or so. So the resources always will be there. It's just that the cycle of the market will always keep going, you know, up and down. And, you know, WA has been fortunate for so long. Now, if it's in downturn, it's even better because people, a common Australian like me, has got the perfect chance to get into a better house at the lowest price possible, because if you see the next boom which is going to be there is going to be lithium, and the WA has got abundance supply
and
of it.
Best lithium hydroxide deposit in the world. Absolutely. At Greenbushes.
Yeah. Absolutely. And because the now the generation will be moving towards cleaner energy, and the batteries and everything that is made for the, you know, the solar power or the wind power or anything, the equipment to run the batteries, they have lithium as their main source, which is abundance in WA. So WA is just placed right. And if you see, there has been $19 billion worth of investment that has been coming from Caterpillar, Rio Tinto, FMG and BHP, which has pumped approximately 5,000 jobs into WA, which means when the things start moving up in the mining sector, it takes 2 years to come to the retail sector. So if you're buying a house today, I can almost certainly guarantee you that there is no looking back. Perth has been at the lowest now, and the only way it can go is to go up. So, you know, these are the things you need to understand, that you need, people only look at the past and the current scenario. Sometimes people don't think like, you know, a year or a two in future, that where it will be. And then they miss out, and then they start, oh, I could have done that.
Playing catch up. So if you've got people listening now who are going, hang on a minute, I wanna understand my position better. Can I afford this? I need to look at that. What can I do here? That's something you can help with?
Absolutely. With Flawless Financial Services, one thing that is the core principle of our company is to make sure that it is always a solution. No one shoe fits all. Everybody's different. We will take substantial information. You may feel a little bit uncomfortable in beginning, but by the end of the process, I can guarantee you, you will remember me for at least 5 to 10 years.
Fantastic. Yes. So if they want to have that conversation with you, how do they get hold of you, Mihir?
They can call me on my mobile, which is 0433-616-002. 0433-616-002, or go to my website, which is www.flawlessfinance.com.au, or they can hook me up on my Facebook page, which is again Flawless Financial Services. You can also look at all my reviews on the Facebook and Google, which will give you an idea on how we work and how we really, really care about our clients.
That is brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. Fantastic to talk to you. And we'll have to catch up again soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.